Now let's together turn to God's Word, and we're going to turn to 1 Samuel 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27, and we'll read through to verse 2 in chapter 28. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. It says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, "If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. The time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, "Whither have you made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites." And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." And Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever." It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight against with Israel. And Achish said unto David, "Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." And David said to Achish, "Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 2 in chapter 28. The last time we had looked at David, the man after God's own heart, we had been looking at some verses in 1 Samuel 25 where we noted a time of testing for David. Remember that Samuel has now died. He has been buried at Ramah. David has gone to the wilderness of Paran. And even though he was a man after God's own heart, there were still areas of David's life that needed to be dealt with. We noted a situation that exposed David's true nature, because David became involved with a man called Nabal. Nabal was a rich man, a very prosperous man, but he was only rich in goods, for he was certainly not rich towards God. He was self-centered, and he was so taken up with himself, he had no time for God. And when he sought to humiliate David, David and 400 men came to take Nabal's life. And David was going to do something that would cast a shadow over his life, and he was going to make a mess of the situation. But there was a solution that saved David a great embarrassment, because Nabal's wife Abigail met David on the way. She intervened and she told him not to act hastily and do something he'd regret. And David took her at her word, and he said these words to her. He said, "You have kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand." Beloved, sometimes like David, There are lessons we all need to learn when we feel hard done by. Sometimes there are situations we want to deal with immediately. And it's better to wait. It's better to be prayerful and let the Lord deal with it, because He will, in His own time and in His own way. People might hurt us and humiliate us. And people might have their day. But don't you ever forget that God will always have His day. Today we come to the verses I've read to you, concentrating in 1 Samuel 27. And we note here a move in the wrong direction. As far as David is concerned, at this stage of his life, things are certainly getting no better. And it seems, as far as David is concerned, he wasn't sure about anything anymore. It seems from some of the Psalms that reflect his mood at this particular time that David is now in the throes of despondency. He's depressed, he's at the end of his tether, and he feels that he just cannot take any more. And as a result of that, he begins to move in the wrong direction. He loses sight of God, and he loses sight of God's plan and God's purposes for his life. Before you and I move on today to think about David and all that happened to him and how he dealt with it, you and I need to understand that we can easily find ourselves in the same place where David was. We're all human. We can so easily be gripped by despair. We can find ourselves in that place of despondency. Sometimes we too get to the end of our tether and we wonder how on earth we're ever going to cope. And sometimes we get so discouraged, we feel like throwing in the towel. We've had enough. Pastor, I just cannot take any more. I've been coping with so many problems and so many pressures, I see no way out. What's the point in it all? If God's not going to intervene and change things, then I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Well, the problem is, like David, when you and I seek to take matters into our own hands, we often make the wrong decisions. And when we make wrong decisions, we often make bad decisions. And those decisions have a great bearing, not just on your life and mine. Those decisions have a great bearing on all those around us, and especially those who are close to us. So think about it as we come to David. What about David? Well, when we come to this period of his life and we see him moving in the wrong direction, I want to mention two simple things, because that's all time will permit. The first is, I know David lost sight of God's plan for his life. David lost sight of God's plan for his life. Look at what we read in the first four verses. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. Now remember, when we left David, after that experience with Nabal, and having been protected both by Abigail, who has now become David's wife, and also by the intervention of God, David has taken a look at himself. And he has taken a look at his circumstances, and he is determined. He's determined. He's going to do things his way. He's determined that he's going to take matters into his own hands. And it starts off interestingly with these words, David said in his heart. The Lord didn't tell him. He didn't seek the direction of God. It doesn't say that the word of the Lord came unto David saying. It simply says that David said in his own heart. He's now walking by sight. He has lost sight of God. He has lost sight of God's plan for his life. He's looking at everything from a human point of view. And you'll note that during the time he spends here in Gath, and we'll come to that in a moment, there is no reference whatsoever to David's relationship with God. In fact, as David looks at his life and he looks at his own circumstances, he's not only taking a wrong turn, he's not only moving in the wrong direction, he's deeply concerned about his future. He says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing else for me. The best thing I can do is get out of Saul's way, and then Saul won't look for me anymore. And if I perish, then I perish. How tragic. David's in such a state, his future is bleak. He's convinced he's going to perish at the hand of Saul. And it seems that David has forgotten about all the things that God had said to him by reassurance. You say to me, well, Pastor, I mean, this man has been going through the mill for weeks. As we have started these studies bit by bit throughout his journey, it seems to be for David that it's downhill all the way. What has God said to this man in order to encourage him? Well, you just think back to some of the experiences he's come through. Because first of all, remember Samuel. Remember how that the sons were brought in and one by one there they stood as Samuel went down them one by one and then inquired, have you no other sons? Yes, we have David. He's out tending sheep. And what happened when David came in? God made it very clear to Samuel that David was the one who would be anointed as the future king of Israel. And Samuel had anointed him, and Samuel had assured him, one day, David, you will be king over Israel, because that's what God has for you. So he was encouraged by Samuel. What about Jonathan? Remember how Jonathan had come and met with him, and they talked together about all that Saul had planned in his heart, and Jonathan hugged his dear brother, and he kissed him, and they wept together. And he turned around and he said something to David. He said, David, you will one day be king over Israel. So he'd been encouraged by Samuel. He'd been encouraged by Jonathan. Even in the last experience we thought about, meeting with Abigail on the road, Abigail said to him that one day the Lord would appoint him as ruler over Israel. So David has been encouraged time and time again. The thing is that he hasn't been listening. And David is now in the depth of despair because he hasn't grasped the promises that God gave him. He hasn't anymore kept focused on the plan that God had for his life. And even the man who saw David as his enemy, Saul, said to him, David, I know that you shall surely be king, that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hands. 1 Samuel 24:20. So what has happened to David? Well, unfortunately, David's looking at things from his own point of view. He has taken control. He's lost his way. He's lost sight of God. He has forgotten about the promises of God. And he has lost sight of God's plan for his life. Beloved, that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? When you think that God no longer cares, when you think that you know better than he does, when you're tired of everything that's happening in your life, and especially when things seem to be spiraling out of control, and you just feel that it's time for you to step in and do your own thing. Beloved, sometimes the devil can convince us that God doesn't care about us. Sometimes the devil can convince us that God has lost control of our lives. That's not so. And I want to reassure you today, as I reassure my own heart, that whatever is going on in your life just now, Whatever the circumstances that you and I are facing individually, God does care. God cares about every detail concerning you and me today. You might be sitting here this morning heartbroken. Heartbroken about a family situation. Heartbroken about loved ones that are sick and going through the bell and you don't know what way to turn and you've cried out to God and there doesn't seem to be any clear answer coming your way. There might be any reason today why you're sitting here in this church building and as one prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, you've got a smile on your face. Publicly everything seems to be so good, but inwardly your heart is breaking. Let me reassure you that God cares about you. And God hasn't lost sight of you. And God is interested in you. And God is willing to minister to you. And those circumstances today that are breaking your heart, God still has everything in His control. Everything. Even if at times that seems unclear to us. Even if in the midst of our journey through life, the plan that I thought God had for me seems unclear just now. Listen, you and I must learn to trust Him. Because God knows what He's doing. And we need to keep our focus on Him and let Him have His way in our lives. We need to keep holding on to Him until God shows us clearly what is the next stage of the journey. If you and I take matters into our own hands, we'll step out of the will of God for our lives. And it's better to be there in the center of His will. Even if it's discouraging, even if it's difficult, it's better to be there than to do things your own way. David thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was doing it for the right reason. But he was moving in the wrong direction. David lost sight of God's plan for his life. Here's the second thing. David found himself in the wrong place with the wrong people. David found himself in the wrong place with the wrong people. And this is what I'm coming to and want to come to today. Because this episode in David's life is very sad. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. David arose and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives. David left where he was staying. He took those who were with him and he took his family. And he moved into the land of the Philistines. In fact, David went to Gath, the place you'll remember that Goliath came from. This was the big giant of a man that David had conquered and defeated and then killed down there in the valley of Elah. He comes to that place, to Gath. And we're told when David got there, Saul stopped following him. But David is now in the midst of his enemies and he's sitting comfortably and he's settling among them and he finds himself in the wrong place with the wrong people. He's soon to be Israel's next king and he's sitting comfortably amongst Israel's enemies. And what's even stranger, when you come to 1 Samuel 28, David refers to himself as a servant of Achish. Beloved, that's what happens when you lose your focus. That's what happens when you lose sight of God and you begin to do things your own way. You become careless and your standards begin to slip. You become disobedient and your spiritual temperature falls. You begin to compromise and you forget whose you are and you forget who you serve. Not only did David find himself living comfortably among his enemies. Here's what it says, and this is very moving. Verse 6. Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, Wherefore Ziglag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. He stayed quite a while, didn't he? Away from the place where God wanted him to be. You know, it's like that for you and me when you're away from the Lord. You can stay away from Him far longer than you ever expected. And you can go far further away from Him than you ever intended. And many today are living proof of that. We read of some in the Scriptures who made the same mistake. Remember how in Genesis 12, how that God had reassured Abraham, and then in the midst of a famine, Abraham took matters into his own hands, went down into Egypt. He did his own thing, stayed quite a while, lied about his wife, and only for the goodness of God he would have faced terrible consequences. Remember in Genesis 13, when Abraham and Lot separated, Lot looked up and he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. And he went and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the next thing, he's living in Sodom. And then after that, he had to be dragged out of Sodom. That's what happens when you lose your focus, when you lose sight of God, when you start to do your own thing. You can end up in the wrong places with the wrong people, under the wrong influence. That's what happened to David. This is a man who had been anointed by God. This was a man who had walked with God, and now he's walking away from God. Why? What happened to him? Well, here are some lessons to be learned today, and I'll mention three just for the sake of time quickly. The first thing I note is this, that David lost his identity. He lost his identity. David had his feet in both camps. And it just doesn't work. He's an Israelite. And now he's fighting the cause of the Philistines. And he's trying to please Achish and happy to call himself the servant of Achish. So much so that as the relationship deepens, that Achish's own people come to him and they say, look, we don't want this man about us. He shouldn't be here. Have you forgotten who he is? Have you forgotten what he's done? Achish believed that David was on his side, but the people didn't want David there, for David had lost his identity. And he found himself in no man's land. He wasn't one or the other. I wonder today, is the Word of God speaking to some of us about our own walk with God? Is He challenging us about our own individual relationship with Him today? Maybe, like David, you found the going tough. And maybe you've lost a wee bit of your spiritual energy. Or maybe it has waned completely. And your spiritual appetite has almost disappeared. Your walk with God's not good. We don't see you out now the way we used to do. Your spiritual temperature has dropped. Maybe today as a Christian, because of the way that you've been living, it doesn't appear to others that you're a Christian at all, because you've lost your identity. And not only that, if it's not checked, you might well lose your testimony. You say, Pastor, you're being very critical. I'm not. But it's the easiest thing in the world, brother or sister in Christ, to stray into bypath meadows. It's easy to lose your joy in the Lord
And having walked with him, and having enjoyed his fellowship, and having sat and prayed, and having remembered him at the table, and having done all the things that are so much part and parcel of the Christian life, to have enjoyed that walk with God, and today to be walking away from God, as quickly as your feet will carry you into those areas you know you shouldn't be. And the longer you're there, you know the more difficult it is to get out of that state. Running with the wrong people. Going to the wrong places. Making the wrong choices. I'm appealing you today, as I would appeal to my own heart if I was sitting right where you are. I'd appeal to you today to stop and think. As Christians today, the day has come when we have to understand we can't have our feet in both camps. We're either going to be distinctly different from the world, or we're going to be lost in it, and our testimony is going to be ruined. Can't run with the hare and hunt with the hounds. Do you know what saddens me even more? And I have to all the time guard this in my own life. We sing and we cry out at times as believers in Christ, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. And we knew they failed. And we knew in the midst of those difficult situations with nobody to hold on to. And we knew that our life was empty, and we knew that its purposes were meaningless. We knew all of those things, and we left it. We came to Christ and were justified, and we enjoyed a relationship with him. And yet today, somehow, we're trying the broken cisterns again. And I'm sure of this, if they failed the first time, they'll fail the second time, and they'll fail the next time, and they'll keep on failing. For none but Christ can satisfy. None. And if today, that's your lament, and you're away from God, and you're in a place you know spiritually you shouldn't be, then come back. Come back to that place you used to be. Tell God you're sorry for straying. And ask for his grace to continue with him. David lost his identity. But I note also that David almost lost his family. You say, Pastor, I don't read that in 1 Samuel 27. No, you don't. But if we were to follow this story through to 1 Samuel 30, David's decision to go to Gath came back to haunt him. Because you see, while he was in Gath, David and his men went out to fight against their enemies, almost as if David had something to prove to Achish. And remember how in the conversation David comes back and Achish says to his good friend David, well, David, what were you at today? Where were you at today? And David told him what he'd been doing and who he had killed and what villages he had overthrown, and he gave him a good report of all that was happening. Well, you'll note that David lied in the first place to him. But then following that, as David was off fighting, the Amalekites that David had overthrown came and raided Ziklag. And it was a little bit tit for tat because they destroyed the city, they burnt it, and they took David's family as captives. And you know what? David was out fighting the wrong battles when he should have been looking after his own family. Out fighting the wrong battles when he should have been watching out for his own family. The decisions that you and I make in life, they just don't affect us. They certainly affect those around us. Bad decisions, wayward living, can ruin our testimonies in various places. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, in the home, we have a responsibility to live a good and godly life before our children. Now, that's no guarantee that they'll walk in the ways of God. But at the very least, they should know that those ways are the ways that we're living. And that the standard that we set is a standard that's well-pleasing to Him. In the workplace, our friends and colleagues should know by our living and Christian example and standards that we're actually walking with Christ. And in our community, our neighbors should see us as believers living in a way that makes them take note. The decisions we make in life, they not only affect us, they affect all those around us. And David lost his identity. David almost lost his family. And David lost the trust of his people. Again in 1 Samuel 30, when the people saw what had happened to the city and to their families, here's what it said. David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. How hard was that for David? These were the same people, remember, who under Saul's reign had come to stay with him. They looked up to him. They admired him. They fought with him. They had given their very lives for him. And now they don't trust him anymore. And now they want to stone him. What could David do? He's lost his identity. He has almost lost his family. His own people have turned against him. What is David going to do? This bad decision has cost him greatly. But you know what it says? When it seemed that all hope was gone in 1 Samuel 36, it simply says this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He didn't only encourage himself in the Lord, you'll read that he sought the help of the high priest. And then he inquired of the Lord for the first time after 16 months in a place where he should never, ever have been. You know, he had gone away and did his own thing. But David now turns to God again. And he finds his help in him. Beloved, listen, I'll close with this. If, like David, any one of us today have taken a wrong turn, and it can happen, if we have gone and taken matters into our own hands, we have done our own thing, we have made bad decisions, and we've made a mess of our lives, we've lost our identity, and maybe even thrown our family into chaos. The important thing is this, that God is waiting and willing to restore. Waiting. Just now. For us from the quietness of our own hearts to turn around and bow our heads quietly and say, though others might not know it and don't perhaps need to know it, just to say, Lord, I've been away from you now for so long, I've made a mess of things, Lord, I'm coming home. Forgive me. Blot out my sin. Give me the grace, Lord, to walk with you daily, to depend upon you entirely. Lest I make the same bad choices again. Because if there's one thing about the God we love and worship, He's not only willing to forgive us and restore us, He's always ready to give us a new start.
Every day with God can be a new beginning if we change direction and if we come back to the place God wants us to be. I remember hearing a testimony one occasion of a man. I was absolutely astounded because I was just a young believer. And this man is a pastor who's now in the glory. And he was asked in our home church in Cookstown to give a word of testimony, and he did. And he spoke about how he had got saved and how he had walked with God and how things were so good and how he'd made wrong choices and how he had gone off in the wrong direction and how that he had wasted many, many, many years. Oh, he still kept reading his Bible. He still kept praying. But it made no sense and he had no great interest. Until one day God spoke to him in his daily readings. And using his words, he said, God drew a line in the sand. And that morning I came back to God. Just like the prodigal came, I had to come with my tail between my legs. But he said, these latter years of my ministry have been much better blessed than ever before. And he said this, he said, the Lord restored unto me the years that the locusts had eaten. But you know, it's easier to stay away than it is to come back. Wrong decisions can take us to the wrong people with the wrong influence and keep us away from God. If that's where you're at today, and David was, and if that's where I'm at today, maybe I need to say, Lord, I'm coming home. Just like the prodigal, God will stand with open arms and receive you and me back to himself, to the place we ought to be. Let's pray, just for a moment. Father, today we come to your word and we know that our lives are exposed before you. Perhaps not before others, but that's not what counts. They're certainly exposed to the light of your word and the ministry of your spirit. Lord, we've all made bad decisions at times. We've all found ourselves in places where we've been careless. But it might be that some today are in that place where they should never be, away from God and in bypath meadows. Father, would you lovingly speak to us again and draw our hearts again after yourself, that even though our lives might be in a mess, that we might learn what it is to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. And we pray in Jesus' name.